So the Gemara in Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Maseches Chulin. Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We need to discuss using a fleshig mug for coffee and using a fleshig bowl for cereal milk, and that's actually coming up very soon, both with Chatchila and Bidyevet. That has to do with our Gemara. But first, before we get to that, and the Gemara Kuf Dalad on the days. First, the Gemara that you saw, of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Nothing to do with coffee, nothing to do with cereal milk. This is a long time ago. Ahubar Buzla Dinafa Lakada de Kimcha. Back in the old days, it was really exciting. It was some sort of salty yogurt. Unclear how to describe this. And the Marmakar said maybe you can imagine like Caesar salad dressing. But Kutach, in Hebrew it's called Kutach, in Aramaic it's called Kemach or Kamcha. It's like a salty milchic dressing.
It's like Wabara. Tzatziki.
Okay. Okay. Ranch dressing. Greek yogurt. Okay. Maybe. The Greek sauce.
Yeah.
The Greek sauce. Okay. Good. It's a good suggestion. So you have your tzatziki in the refrigerator in a container. Okay. You gain all ready for shal shudis. So you have this big erev shal shudis. You have this big again, the tastes of yesteryear or Mediterranean taste. So you're with the Greek family. So they have the big bowl of tzatziki open, sitting in the fridge. On Friday, getting ready for Shabbos Kodesh. Then, what do you discover? A little bit of a surprise when you get to the bottom of the bowl. Yeah. Ha'u bar guzla de nafla kada de kimcha. Well, there was some chicken that made its way into your tzatziki. That's how you pronounce it? Tzatziki?
Huh? I think it's tzatziki. I don't know.
Okay, we have to mavar after.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well, I'll have to move our after. Be that as it may, you find a little chicken at the bottom of your ranch dressing. So it fell in. It fell in. I told you guys that a couple years ago we had a little bit of a kashrus crisis at the Cholentov. When the challenge was very fleshig, but it was also a sauce that was used by one of the three teams that was a little suspect. In the end, it turned out that it was not quite as milchig as it seemed. We'll get to them, Rich, probably get to Kuf Yud Aleph. But here, this was like really milchig. So you have this milchig yogurt, this salty yogurt, Greek yogurt dressing, and a piece of chicken folded. Shaye Rav Chinana Grey de Rava. Rav Chinana, the son of Rava Mipashrunya, not one of the most well-known Amora, but this Rav Chinana, the son of Rava, who is from Pashrunya, said, Mutter, don't worry, take the chicken out, wash it off, and you're good to go. The chicken is kosher. Wow. What would you have guessed? What would you have guessed and why? I shouldn't have thought. Well, you also the Gemara already, anyways, yeah?
Probably
also. Huh? Also because it's salty. Yesterday we were talking about five different methods of time transfer. Good. Very good. So on the one hand, on the other hand. On the one hand, we were talking yesterday about five different methods of time transfer. There are ways for flavor to get absorbed without heat, and one of them is magliach. So you would say, look, a piece of chicken, even if it wasn't sitting in liquid for 24 hours, kavush, here it was very salty. So you should have said the maliach is mavlia, the salty milchic sauce, because of its saltiness, is going to get absorbed into the chicken. It's very nice you're going to scrub the surface, remove all the residue on the surface, but there was a blia. There was absorption of flavor into chicken. Should be treif. So this Rav Chinana Breder of Rav Bar Parshunya says, no, totally fine. Rinse off the chicken, scrub off the chicken, and enjoy your chicken. So Rava, who was not Rav Chinana's father, Amar Rava, man chakim lemishrei ki aygana. Wow, brilliant. What a brilliant cool. You have to be so insightful. You have to be so sharp to be able to give such a heter. Because we should have said, what Ali said, look, offhand, you should say Maliach. Right? Maliach is Mavliach. It should be awesome. Oh. And Rava said, who's as smart as this Rav Chinen of Reid the Rava Mipashrunya? Clearly not the two different Ravas. The Stam Rava, who's the one who's speaking now, and then there's Rava of the town of Pashrunya, who's the one who was Rav Chinen, his father. The Rava that we're used to hearing about, who's speaking now, always argued Abaye, he was the Rav not of Pashrunya, he was the Rav of Mechuza. To talk about some other time, there's Sistarians who have collected the different comments Rava makes about his Baal Batim over the course of Shas. There's a lot to say, apparently the people of Mechuza were an interesting lot. But anyhow, so Rava, our Rava, the Rava of Mechuza, says, this Rav Chinenah braid the Rav in Pashrunya, wow, what a kula. Who would it be if not for Rav Chinenah braid the Rav in Pashrunya? Ka, Savar, because he held, ki kamar Shmuel Maliach aleu kuroseach. It's true that Shmuel told us that Maliach is one of the methods of Talmud transfer. It's true that Shmuel said the Maliach is kuroseach, a salty piece of meat, or in this case, salty sauce, is the equivalent of hot. Okay. But when did he say that? Ki amar Shmuel. When did Shmuel say that? Only hanimili hechidenu necha makos milcho. Only if it's so salty. Rishonim have different ways of translating this phrase, but the simplest way to read it is that it's so salty, it's eino necha machmas milcho. It's so salty that you can't eat it. Really, really heavy duty salty. It has to be a little sprinkle of salt. You know, you have challah and you sprinkle a little salt on the challah, that's not going to be avliya, it's flavor, it's other things. And Rabbi says, that must have been Rav Chinenah's chiddush. That this din of milcho kaseach has a shear. There's a certain minimum degree of saltiness necessary to cause the absorption of flavor. And this case is not at that level of saltiness. What's the threshold you have to meet? What's the shear? Eino necha machas milcho. So salty that you couldn't eat the thing because it's so salty. What's the obvious problem, the logical problem?
So, how do you ever taste it?
Yeah, whoever is salting food so badly that it's inedible, when would that ever come up? Excellent question. The answer is, they use salt the way we use a fridge or maybe a freezer. Right? When you have food in the freezer, let's say you're making a shavuot brachas in a couple weeks. So you figure you have to make 50 rolls for the shavuot brachas. So you're not going to bake them all the day before. You start baking in advance, and you put them in the freezer. If you have a solid freezer, as the right type of cycle, the chal will taste delicious. It won't be freezer burnt at all. Right? So that you're making food, it goes in the freezer. You're making food for Pesach, it goes in the freezer. Let me ask you a question. Why do you put food in the freezer? It's totally inedible when it's frozen. The answer is it's a preservative, and you make sure to thaw it. If you have food in the freezer, you don't take it out 5 minutes before you want to serve it. Take it out an hour or two before you want to serve it. So it thaws out by the time you're ready to serve. That's how they use salt. They use salt, not just to flavor food. They use salt as a preservative because salt draws out the moisture and retards bacterial growth and spoilage. So they would mamish super salt the food and put it into storage. You're going on a boat, a sea voyage for 3 months, you're going to have most of your meat and most of your fish is going to be in crates of salt, heavy, heavy salt, way too salty to possibly eat, but it'll stay there in storage. And every day, before supper, you go to the crate, pull out a few pieces of meat, rinse off most of the salt, and now it's edible. So that simple arena of the Gemara is the only time that it's salty enough that it keeps them avliya is when it's what equivalent for us to frozen. It's really, really salty. But this sauce, this kamcha, it was salty, but it wasn't so salty. It wasn't being preserved, it was being used. Add a little bit of salt for the flavor, for the tang. So that's not so salty. And then mela it's mutter. And then mela it's mutter. But as DJ points out, you see from the Gemara something interesting. You see from the Gemara that what? That in a chanami, if it would be that salty, if a piece of chicken fell into, if you had a piece of chicken that fell into super salty sauce, milchik sauce, or if you had a piece of super salty chicken that falls into milk, there would be an exchange of flavor, and there would be a problem. Yeah? So, says DJ, 1 second. It's interesting. Even though what? Even though it's a drop bun on top of a drop bun. Kind of doesn't bother us. We're talking about chicken, which we paskin is only fleishig mi drop bun. And what's the other reason why this is only drop bun?
Because it's cold.
Because there was no bishul. There was no bishul. There was an exchange of flavor through the saltiness, but there was no bishul. Right? So you should say, so even though it's a drabanan, top of drabanan, it still, in principle, would be aser. Rav Chinuna came up with a chiddush that here it's not even a double drabanan because it's not even salty enough for the din to apply. But in principle, he agrees. That's how Rav understood it. At least Rava says that. We don't know what was going on in Rav Chinuna's head. Maybe Rav Chinuna taka felt a double drabanan should be mutter. But we tend to pass it like Rava. And anyways, no one's disagreeing the Gemara with Rava. And Rava certainly is very clear that fundamentally it should have been problematic, except that for a technical reason, the din of Maliach doesn't apply. But in principle, Maliach applied to oath would still be a violation of Bas B'chal. Yeah?
Are these different ways of transferring taste, like Kalash Mavish or Maliach Rotea, is that a Dirabanan, is it a Halakha Dirabanan, or is it like a reality?
Oh no! Very, very good question. Thank you for clarifying. It's not a gzera. The fact that Tom is transferred with Maliach Kiroseach with Kavish Kavushal, that's a physical reality, and therefore it's applicable on the level of Daraisa. And therefore, let's be clear: if you have a piece of bacon that sits in your if you have a piece of bacon that sat in your orange juice for 24 hours, right? Or if you have a kosher piece of meat that sat in clam juice for 24 hours, so that's going to be treif min ha-Torah, because there was an absorption of flavor, and you can rinse and scrub the surface as much as you like, but the flavor is already absorbed into the food itself, and you cannot kosher, you can kosher candy, you cannot kosher food. There's no way, yeah, that's a problem min ha-Torah. It's a problem in a Torah, because it's a physical reality. Assuming that Tom Kaker is Daraisa, which I usually assume, this has a flavor in a Torah. The reason why Bas B'chalav is different is because it's true this has a flavor of milk, but the din Daraisa of Bas B'chalav is only not to eat or have hanah from meat and milk that were cooked together. Here they weren't cooked together. They shared flavors, but they weren't cooked together. As a matter of fact, that's what our Gemara on Kof Daled goes on to say. Oh, we'll leave the rest of the Gemara Kof Daled for now. The Gemara goes on to say, if they got mixed, but they're cold, because the Gemara goes on to say, you have milchus and fleishiks in the same table, what would happen if you put them one on top of the other? It would still only be a drabanan, even if you eat them together. So, it's just cold. Even though they're together, it's true they're together, but until you cook them, that's what something we saw at the beginning of the parak. Right, Basar B'chalav, there, the Rav's, we're worth reviewing the Rav's diuk in one letter. The other day we were talking about the one letter that starts Ve'elah Mishpatim. How about the one letter that's in the middle of the word Basar B'chalav? Why do you call it Basar B'chalav? Meat in milk. Why not call it Basar V'chalav? Right, meat and milk. In English you say, halach is meat and milk. Basar V'chalav. With a vav. Forget about the hey, no hey. How about the bays versus the vav? Why is it basar b'chala? Meat in milk. Why not just basar b'chala? With a vav. Meat in milk. So the Rav said, his nusach was, basar b'chala is drabanan, basar b'chala is daraisa. Meat and milk, eating them together at the same time, that's in the drabanan. This is daraisa, not just they have to be side by side combined, is you create a new entity called a fusion of meat and milk. And you fuse them through blending flavors through cooking. Derek Bishol Asr Torah. So that's Basar Bichal. Unless you cook them together, unless it was a Bishol, there's no, even though their flavors were shared, there's no Basar Bichal of Dreisa. So that's the Gemara Kuf Yud Beis of an Aleph. Gemara Kuf Yud Beis, Rava certainly is clear, and that's how he interprets with Chidana, that a combination of, if chicken gave flavor to milk, chicken gave flavor to cheese, only without Bishol, it's still Asr Midrabanan, but it's going to be Asr. Yeah.
Bomb. In cases where flavor might be transferred from one food item to another, is there like a heter to try the food to see if it actually was transferred, or it's like you don't say that you put
like give it to non-Jew.
Yeah, that's a good point, a little bit of a side point, but a very good point. Based on a Mishnah Lay, which we may have a chance to see further on, if you have a Gemara, you can take a look in front of you actually. The Gemishnah Kuf Ches Amud Aleph talks about a very, very, very famous Mishnah. Tipas chalav shenafal achaticha. You have a pot of meat, you're making meatballs, you're making pot roast, whatever it is, maybe boiling some corned beef. And then a drop of milk falls on a piece of meat. Tifas chalav shenafal al chaticha. This is called the sugya of tifas chalav. The Gemara that follows this Mishnah up until the next Mishnah, the next block and a half or so, is very, very heavy duty. The sugya of tifas chalav. The sugya of the drop of milk. Very dramatic. So the drop of milk that falls on a piece of meat, so the Gemara says, Mishnah says, is it asr mutter? There's one little drop of milk. Does it make the meat treif? But the way the Mishnah said, Mishnah doesn't mention anything about shishim. The Gemara does. Very good. The Mishnah says, well, it depends how big the drop of milk was. Was it enough to give its flavor to the whole piece of meat? Now, how do you figure that out? So the Gemara says, well, one way to do it is just to do the math. Measure, do you have a 1 to 60 ratio or not? But the fact that no same time actually tasting, so the Gemara says, at least in principle, you could have had, the Gemara talks about this earlier, in the seventh part, you could have someone taste it. Who's going to taste it? That's a good question. Who's going to taste it? You're playing with fire. If a taka tastes like milk, then you just ate basar b'chalav. So the Gemara says, you have to have bring in a non-Jewish chef, a sensory expert, a kefela, kuf pei, yud lam and alf, bring a kefela, a non-Jewish chef, and he'll taste it, and he'll see, do you taste or not? And if you don't have a kefela handy, which we usually don't, and minigashkenaz is generally not to rely on tasters. So then the Gemara says the fallback is always shishim. As if there's a 1 to 60 ratio, and you're pretty sure, unless you're dealing with a flavor concentrate, a spice, an extract, something like that, any typical food, by the time you get to 1 out of 60, it's already way diluted. Many foods are even diluted enough with a lower ratio, but 1 to 60 is safe. Any non-spice, non-flavoring, 1 to 60, it's ready to be gone. But so it's in principle, you could, right, if it's cooking or if it's salting, but if it's a small amount, you could, we know that this process works. That's why dill pickles taste different than garlic pickles. Because the dill pickles sat and soaked with dill, and the garlic pickles sat and soaked with garlic. And how is the flavor transferred? Not through heat, but through kalash, or through malia, or a combination of the two. So that's this Gemara and Kufi based on all. Why is this so exciting? Yeah, more questions. Yeah. You say if something tastes like milk. Yeah, so that's a good question. But that's very different, I'll tell you why. Because something that tastes, if I artificially... So that actually brings us back to our sugya. What constitutes milk? Right, so it's not enough that it happens to taste like milk does. Just as Pesach is coming, a month and a half, and often there's discussion about different alcohols. Right, is alcohol a chametz derivative or not? Here's the funny thing: you could have chemically identical alcohol, an ethyl alcohol that was derived from sugar. And the ethyl alcohol is derived from barley. They're chemically identical. A chemist cannot, if they're unadulterated, chemists cannot tell the difference. And yet one is chametzik and one is not chametzik. They're chemically the same, yeah. But they one came from, was produced from chametz. The other one was produced from non-chametz. You know, they taste the same. Right? So if I manage to artificially manufacture vanilla flavor, called vanillin, so vanillin is the chemical that's naturally present in vanilla, or I could artificially create vanillin. I could have natural almond, or I could artificially create almond. I could have natural flavor of milk, or I could sit in the lab and artificially cook up from non-dairy sources something that tastes identical to milk. That's not milchik. Tam ke ikker doesn't just mean it happens to taste like milk does. It means it has flavor of milk. If I have a potato that I baked with cheese, even if I scrape the cheese off, the potato will have a dairy flavor. Artificial dairy flavor, it actually absorbed some of the cheese. So tam ke ikker means you actually absorbed stuff from the ikker, from the real pork, from the real milk, from the real lobster, whatever, from the real chametz, whatever your context is. Yeah?
I just want to make sure that kalish kemavushal isn't actually kemavushal for basar b'chalav.
Correct. Okay. Correct. That's what we're saying here. Yes, there's a transfer of flavor. Maliach karaseach kavish kemushal, a transfer of flavor, but it's not the dishol, means actual cooking. And therefore, kavish kemavushal, maliach karaseach, will not create basa b'chal of deraisa. Yeah. Question.
No, I was just thinking, like, then you had marasayan for these cases with the alcohol, and it's the same thing.
Yeah, Marasayan is a great question. As a matter of fact, in Simon Pezayan, there's a discussion about Marasayan. There's actually a discussion about Marasayan, Basim Chol, and Purim. Because they're talking about apparently there was an old minig, which maybe Yechi still have, there was an old minig to serve chicken in almond milk on Purim. So the discussion is you have to leave the almonds floating in the almond milk so it'll be clear that this is part of almond milk and not. Actually, no. As an aside, I've thought in the past of Purim, how come this was like Dafka, this is a Purim, Michael? Chicken and almond milk seems sort of random. I think Lachor, it's the same episode as wearing a costume. It's the same time as a episode as us wearing a costume. That wearing a costume is fun, but probably the significance of it, presumably, is to recognize that things are often not what they seem. And that was ultimately the main lesson of Purim. Is it looks like it's just politics, it looks like everything is just natural and random, and really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, his hand is gloved, but he's at work, you have to learn to notice him. If you just look at the psychodynamics of the Persian court of the course of a decade, giant stuff happens, there are power plays, and this one, you know, everyone has their rise and their fall, whatever, it worked out. And Megillah trains us to notice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding below the surface. So that's why we wear a costume also, to remember that not everything is as it seems. And it could be, they used to, that was also a costume. It looked like Basa Bahala, and really wasn't. Yeah, the chicken and the almond. But, since it could be, it's Marasayan, and therefore you got to be careful, you got to put the almonds in. Halacha Lamasa, the Rush writes, in his Hilchos Shanos, the 9th parak of Nida, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Shanos in Yerideya, when do you are worried about Bishalak, about Marasayan and when not? For instance, let's say I have an Impossible Burger, right? Or back in the old days, the Chavod Chavir Shalanu, a Chozer Kaet La'aretz, as poor, soy dogs are not much of a big thing in America. But Ba'aretz, everyone has soy dogs. Mamas say, you can't escape them. Right? That, soy dogs and sesame. Are all over the place. So the question is, can I have a soy dog, part of a hot dog? Can I eat a soy dog with cheese? Can I eat a soy dog with cheese? Or not, Marasayan. Do I have to have a package on the table that says, this is a part of soy dog? So it says, so the Rush discusses this. He doesn't talk about soy dogs. He talks about, in Shatnez is wool and linen. How about if I have clothing that doesn't have any linen in it, but it has patches of wool and raw silk? If you ever had the chance to wear... Guys usually wear raw silk in a tie. But raw silk looks like linen. Usually a silk tie is very smooth. But raw silk has a lot more texture to it. And it looks like linen. So you allowed with Rush discusses, can I wear clothing that's a quilt or patches of wool and raw silk? It's not actually shatnez. There's no linen. But it looks like it. The raw silk looks like it. Looks like you're wearing wool and linen. You know you're wearing wool and silk. Mutter or Asr? Fundamentally it's Mutter, but is there an Isser Marasayan? So the Rosh gives you so. He says it depends whether raw silk is common or uncommon. He says if it ain't Omotsu, if it's a rarity in your society to have raw silk, so then the observers will look at that, and there's only really one way to interpret that. That looks like linen. So then you have a Marasayan problem, you're going to have a tag or have to have something. But if raw silk is Matsui, Matsui doesn't mean Rov. It could be that 80% of the fabric that looks like this is taka linen, but 20% of the fabric has this look in your society is raw silk. If it's matsui, if it's a thing, even if it's a minority, then already there's no problem Marasayan. That has to do with the soy dogs. Oh, soy dogs are common. They're all over the place. So then that's not a Marasayan problem. Coming back to what you were saying, Aaron, so if you have kashal pesach vodka made out of sugar, so bechal kasha, why is that a taste you would want to acquire? Good kasha. Okay. But leaving aside the wisdom or lack thereof of drinking vodka, but is it a problem Marasayan to drink it on Pesach? That's what you're asking. So it depends. If you live in a society where that's common, where non-chametzdik vodka is common, no problem. If you live in a society where it's very uncommon, which I think is the case, I'm certainly not in a position to have an opinion, but that's my impression. So then you would have to have the bottle on the table. Yeah. So sometimes they're careful. So the truth is within frum circles, over the last couple of years, you know, chametz lookalikes have become very popular. So we could discuss, is it popular enough, at least within the week of Pesach? That's not a Maariv Zayin problem. I think there are some places where that will have every single menu at every single meal says, you know, the rolls are not chametz. If you go to Dunkin' Donuts, a kosher Dunkin' Donuts, many of the kosher Dunkin' Donuts will have a big sign that says that the sausage is parv. Some won't. That's the question. Do you really need to say that? Or by now, it's already, you know, veggie sausage is such a common item. As a matter of fact, Dunkin' Donuts now has been advertising for all their Dunkin' Donuts. They now carry plant-based, maybe tray, kosher trays, but not non-fellatic sausage. So that's a question. Okay, but coming back from the world of Marasayan to the actual dinim, right, you have to negotiate Marasayan, but in addition to negotiate Ashka Ishas Bas B'chal. So this Gemara on Kuf Yud Beis, again, as the Rav had been clear, that fundamentally, chicken gives flavor to milchiks via maliach, that's going to be a problematic. And the Dagla Meir Vava says, Nodeb Yehuda, with whom we started the year, so he in his comments on the page of Shulchan Aruch, that you have in front of the Maariv Makomos, so he says, I don't understand the Taz. The Taz seems to have forgotten this Gemara. Why? What was the Taz talking about? The Taz was talking about the Ramah with which we ended yesterday. You'll remember the Ramah called the Issur Heter. That Ramah implied in Dr. Moshe was explicit. That talked about the case where I left the chal to sit for a long time before I actually processed it. And the Issur Heter made the point that let's say I actually had, moving away from our bowl of Greek milkic sauce, to a bowl of chalei mesa, interesting type of kitchen, maybe gourmet kitchen. You have an entire pail in your refrigerator of chalei mesa. We shechted a cow, and it was a nursing cow. We extract the milk lacharshita and put it in a milking pail. So you have a milking pail half full of chalev mesa. That chalev mesa, is it milchik or is it not milchik? The answer is both. Very good. It's milchik midrabanan, but not milchik minatora. Why? Kufi gimel beis b'chalev imavol al b'chalev mesa. It's not milchik midrabanan. It's only milchik midrabanan, just like chicken is only fleshik midrabanan. And the Issur Heter said, if you had a piece of meat that sat in that milking pail for a day and a half, kavush kemavushal, that is a problem. Frek the Taz. Frek the Taz at the little letter, at the letter Beis, the circled letter Beis. We're going to skip the beginning of the Taz. We add more layers of complexity that are not necessary. The first circle is Omnam tamati al pekadosh yomer king. He says, he's very polite. He says, I'm shocked at the holy mouth that would say this. He wants to be respectful. He's about to say, I think the Ramah is totally wrong. So he wants to be respectful. He says, Tameh, a pekadosh, he's a holy tzaddik. How could the holy tzaddik say such? How does a holy mouth say such a thing? Lesser bezeh. Look inside, b'shar basar, b'kavush, b'chalav shchuta. You say a piece of meat soaks without heat in chalav shchuta. The Taz says, that's asr. How could it be? Ha'ikar ha'isr, b'shem gzer de basar, b'chalav b'yalma. He says, but the whole isr is a gzera to basar, real basar b'chalav. Chalav shchuta is a gzera drabanan, milk drabanan, atu, real milk. He says, I understand, even real meat and real milk, if they soak, it's not Bas B'chalav D'raisa. So why? Because Derech Bishol Asra Torah. Bas B'chalav D'raisa is only when they're cooked together. If it's Kavush, Rakshemi Drabanan Asura. It's only Yisra Drabanan. Im Kain, He says, how could you tell me if it's only soaking, no heat? Number one. And number two, in this case, your pail is full of chalev shchuta, which only asum is drabanan, only milkum drabanan. His gzeira l'gzeira. The Taz says, I'm shocked. How could the Ramban, the Yisra Hefter, have said that drabanan milk, meat that soaks in drabanan milk, so the milk is not milk, is milk, etc., and it's only soaking, it's not cooking, a double drabanan, how could he say it's asum, it's a gzeira l'gzeira? It's a gzeira l'gzeira. He says, no, the Ramad wasn't so clear. Maybe the Ramad really agrees with it. So Dagan Meir Vava asks the very obvious question. What's the most obvious question given the way we start here? Who wants to be called Yecheskel for a day? What's the kashi you should ask the Taz? The Taz says, oh, I mean, drabanan milk and it's only kavush. That should be, what's it called? Gzeira l'gzeira. What do you say, Gzal?
The Gemara over there wasn't worried about it.
Yeah! Take a look. If I had to take a look at the Dagan Meir Vava, we'll call him Yecheskel Deeds. Because the Yecheskel Landau, who we know as the Noda Behuda, his Shuvas are called Noda Behuda, his comments on Shulchan are called Dagan Meir Vava. In Cain, Hava Legzera Legzera, says, according to him, it should be the same thing. Well, Devarav, Visar Of Shul Gamkin Yidrabanan, Gamkin Eon Esib Akabash of Malicha. It says, well, he says, the same way you're saying the Taz would not want to aser drabanan milk with kavush or maliach, it should also be true for drabanan meat, like chicken. In Kain Kasha Uvda Debar Guzlanach Lakadah Del Shai Rev Kena Amitam Neachem Avav Milcho. He says, what do you do with the Gemara in Daf Kuf Yud Beis? Where fundamentally it should have been aser, even though it was only chicken, not meat, and it was only maliach, not cooked. So I don't know, what's the Taz getting all excited about? On the other hand, the Taz would say, but gzeira l'gzeira. There is a rule of gzeira l'gzeira. Right? So how do you make sense of this? What's the Noda Behuda thinking? The Behuda's thinking what the Nekudas HaKesef writes, the Shach and Nekudas HaKesef. He says, the Taz says, Tamati, I'm shocked by the holy mouth of the Yisra HaKesef that would say this. Ani Tamei at the bottom, the Nekudas HaKesef, Ani Tamei Olav. I'm shocked by him. Hey, Achum Adamek, Zeres Hacham, Zulazu.
They're shocked.
What's the Taz thinking? Gzera, like Zera. One kasha of the Taz could be Gemara Kuf Yud Beis. Other kasha of the Taz is our Tosas. Our Tosas raised the question of Gzera, like Zera, yes or no. And what will Tosas answer?
Don't compare.
Follow instructions. Hey, Achum Adamek, Zeres Hacham, Zulazu. So what's the Taz thinking? Let's make sure we're up to. Let's make sure everyone's really convinced that Taz is right. Right. The Taz had said that he thinks drabanan milk and it's just soaking. So the milk is only drabanan and there's no bishul, just kavush. Mutter. Zera l'gzera, double drabanan mutter. So the Shach says, what do you mean, mutter? Zera l'gzera, since when you, the Tosa said, we can't, it's hard to know when you say zera l'gzera or not. Right? And matter of fact, more than that, the Yehuda, in his Dagan Meir Vava, said, you're wrong, it's against the Beferish and Gemara. The Taz forgot a Gemara, put you days in the food. What's going on? How many of your people here think? How many people here think? How many of you are with me? Okay, yourself. Of those who are with me, which is fail. You like the Taz, you don't like the Taz. Good kasha the Taz?
I don't get
Tosos
as more. What
does it mean you can't compare? Ooh. What do you mean you can't compare Xavier Jabonim? So remember, we were told by the FCA, well, why can't you compare them? What kind of answer is that? So Ellie Goldberg had correctly said, we have the Ramban. Ramban, exactly. Ramban and his whole base measures. Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva. Ramban already quoted from the Ro'av Bezin, from the earlier Ravid. Right? They say it all depends on how common it is. Right? If A is very likely to lead to B, Halal is very likely to lead to Achila, so then it's not such a big jump to have a double Xer, because even the second Xer is necessary in order to protect the Daraisa. Right? Of course, if you take that logic all the way, the Taz is actually sitting pretty pretty. Because the Rebbe Yehuda had said, these two Gemaras are the same. Yecheskel Dietz had told us that the case of the Rabbanan milk and soaking is the same as the Gemara took the bays, the chicken, and the salted. Right? Is it the same? Not the same. I would say, based on what we've learned so far, what we learned yesterday, we understood Tosfos yesterday, and what he spoke about today, and based on the way the Ramban and his kind of really explained it, they're not the same at all. The Taz is very Gishmak. There's a world of difference in Taz's case and the Gemara Kufi Beis. The Gemara Kufi Beis, which item, which ingredient is Drabanim? The meat. Why is it Drabanim? For the chicken. Right? The case the Taz is talking about, the Ramah, this is after Ramah and Taz. Which item is only Drabanim? The milk. Why is it Drabanim? Because Chalei Shuta. It's true that chicken is Chalei Shuta Drabanim. And Chalei Shchutza is milk to be Drabanan. That's true. In terms of halachic severity, they're the same. Can you tell me a simple difference between those two items?
Oh, one's the white and part of the flavor,
one's the white. Oh, okay, good. You guys are way too fancy. Simple.
One's inherently Asa Drabanan, one's...
You guys are way too lumpish. Remember, according to the Ramban, what's the whole Xeri question about? Kiruv Xeris. Kiruv Xeris. Frequency. How common is it? It's true that chicken is fleshing with drabanan and chaleim shrut is milk with drabanan, but I know I don't live on a farm, but I have to believe that even if you lived on a farm, chaleim shrut is that. Who is milking dead cows into a pail? I mean, maybe it was a very productive milk cow, well, you want to get one last pail of milk. It can't be that common. Chicken is super common.
Maybe it tastes better or something.
Maybe. Right. But clearly, Chalei Shchuta is not a much smaller percentage. Chalei Shchuta is a tiny percentage of the milk supply. Chicken is not a tiny percentage of the meat supply. As a matter of fact, there probably have been times in history when animals were very, very expensive. Most of the meat eaten was chicken. Even as long as we live in affluent time, is there more chicken meat? I don't know. But chicken is a very, very, very common item. Chalei Shchuta is not a very, very common item. Do you want to tell me that I'm worried, the leap from meat chicken to meat is a quick leap? The leap from chaleim shchuta to regular milk? How often do you even have the opportunity to see a pail of chaleim shchuta? Well, the truth is, the Shach and the Behuda, they're saying, and Yechezkel Dietz were all correctly saying, oh, the Taz, how can you say that? What are you talking about? Tosa said, "Ein l'damos." It's again, you're against the Beferish Gemara Kulin. And talk about what the Taz thinking. The answer is actually, once you stop to think about it, the Tosus that the Shach used in Yikuas HaKesev as a bat with which to bop the Taz over the head, the Tosus actually sounds like it's a support to the Taz. Because, after all, these are not parallel cases. Yeah, they're conceptually similar, but if the issue is how common it is, and not similar at all. The Taka, what was the Shach thinking? The Taz Taka makes a lot of sense. Right? In the case of chicken, halas ar sugya, halas of b'chala. So halas tachil is a quick leap, and chicken to meat is a quick leap because chicken is so common. But the Taz is talking about a case where the leap from chaleiv shchuta to rei l'chalav, that's much more of a leap because how often do you even lay your eyes, let alone your tongue, on chaleiv shchuta? So it's a good argument to make. Ein l'damos. Why? Why ein l'damos? Ramban had said, because, this is more common, that's less common.
Yeah.
So then, they're very different cases. Yes, we will make a gzeira l'gzeira if it's common, but not if it's not common. And so what? So now the Taz talk is very schmuck. Don't ask on him, you're against the Gemara Kufi Beis. No, chicken, it makes sense because I have there. But Chalei Shchuta is a rare item, according to the way the Ramban had explained. And so we'll end with one final movement. Let's end with one final movement to defend those who disagree with the Taz, to try to make sense. What Taka was the Yehuda thinking? What Taka was the Shach thinking? As work that out, and then we'll recap and wrap up. Seeing that the Shach doesn't like the Taz, and not just doesn't like, Tamati, he's shocked. Seeing that Yehuda, right, drew and fired. What do you mean you're against the Gemara Kuf Yud Beis? How so? How is it against? So this points us to the fact that what Eli said is correct, but is not the only approach. We had left off yesterday trying to figure out what does Tosas mean? Moshe couples Kasha. What does Tosas mean? Ein ledamos. Why should you not be medama? So one explanation for Tosas, and here it all comes back to Tosas. Once again, now let's bring it back to looking inside Tosas again. That teeny tiny Tosas. Kuf, Dalet, Amud, Aleph. Minotemra. Once again, Tosas said, sometimes you do a gezeira, and sometimes you do a gezeira, and here it's sort of in between. So what's going on? Ein ledamos, the last two lines. Please take a look inside. Ein ledamos gzeres hachamim zu lezu. Don't compare different gzeres to one another. Ella v'malkim shashas medama. Sometimes the Amoram will say, oh, here you go there, not goes there, that's a problem. But the Amoram don't compare, we're not going to compare. So we asked yesterday, and Moshe asked again, well, why not compare? Usually that's the way halacha works. Usually how conceptual analysis, we look at them, they seem similar. What would make Zeres different? So one approach was what Eliyahu quoted from the Ramban based Midrasho, the Raivi, the Ramban, the Rajva, the Ritva. The difference, the hidden variable that's going to differentiate different Zeres is how likely is it to get from point A to point B? How likely is it? Like, once you do this, you'll come do that, and do that, come do the other thing. That's the approach of the Ramban, the Rajva, the Ritva, and the Raivi. But it's not the only approach. If you take that approach, then what you're looking at when you compare two cases is, are they equally frequent? And as we saw, the Shach and Akudah Tzakesef are not looking at frequency. They're looking at something else. Because they're willing to compare chicken, being fleishik midrabanan, you know, it's a common item, with chalim shchuta being milk midrabanan, which is clearly not a common item. So have you seen any other approach to understanding why we're more likely to make Zeres like Zeres here? Ramban says we're making Zeres, like we're willing to make Zeres like Zeres in the world of Basu B'chalav because everything is so likely, the slope is so super slippery. It's an extra slippery slope, so you have to even have a double Zera. But then again, that's going to break down in a rare situation, the Chalev Shchuta. Yeah?
Maybe we should talk a little bit about the Tana.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to help you here, because this is a Gzera. Okay, but you're thinking, good. How else can we think about it here? Who have we seen that addressed this? So a long time ago, we saw an office to Rabbi Nassim. Rabbi Nassim says, Bas B'chalav is a situation where the Torah itself is already making siyagim. Bishul, Yavashvah says, there are cases where the Torah itself makes siyagim, so then we're more likely to make siyagim. Okay, so the Kesef Mishnah said, Bishul Bas B'chalav itself is a siyag. Okay, so maybe Bas B'chalav in general, we want to make more siyagim. But let's put a little more flesh in the bones. Who here says a reason, a different reason for why we're willing to make Zeres HaGzeres in the world of Bas B'chalav? Ramban, Raj Baritzvah said because it's so likely. But the Rambam, very good. The Rambam had a different explanation. The Rambam in Perek Dal Lachateh, it's in Perek Tes Lachadal, it said, why do we have so many Xeris in the world of Bas B'chalav?
Because it is a Xera.
Ah, you could have said, as in Sforno said, I should quote the Rambam, because Chumra Dabo Nazara, the Rambam says something different. He says, this is such a dangerous area. The Rambam says that a lot of you were trying to figure out how to read that the questionable letter. Is it a tes or is it an ayin? Let's read that Rambam together. He says, the very idea, Paratesal Abadal Rambam, Nisar Chayav Yehov, Chalev Chaya, Chalev Beva, why is chicken Slashik Midrabanan? In Osir Rechilim and Atar. It's Metar Rechparim. But the Gemara would allow to work that out. That's why there's no Isser Bishul, no Isser Anah. But there is an Isser Achil Mitrabanan. Asher Achil Mitrabanan is over from why? Kedesh lo yifshetu ha'am. In the Vilna's Rambam, it says, Shlahifshu ha'am. They tell you the sign, how do I get around to that? They tell you the sign in the Shinui Nisvos. The far more popular spelling in most versions is Shlahifshetu ha'am. People shouldn't spread out. If you allow you to eat chicken and milk, you may end up creeping over into having meat and milk. You might eat real deraisa fleishes with real deraisa milk. Why would you come to do this? And you might ask, by the way, why do I even need to explain so much? We've heard of Xeris before. Okay, it's Xeris, shine. It says, no, I'll tell you why you make it there. The simple meaning of the pasuk is just a goat in its mother's milk. Mamash. That actual case. The pasuk, that was Rambam saying, the pasuk doesn't sound like basur chala. The pasuk sounds like one specific example on the farm. I have the baby goat, not a sheep, not a cow, not an adult goat, a baby goat in Gedi. And in which milk? Not cow's milk, not sheep's milk, not even chalev izim, a bottle of goat's milk you buy in that store. The baby goat in its mother's milk. That is the example that the Torah gives. Now we discussed earlier why God gives that example, based on the Sephardim. But Lamasa, the Torah Shabbat teaches us that this is an example. Just like when the Torah talks about Shabbat Aveda, they mention an animal, but also Shabbat Aveda and iPods. So the target, the cow and the donkey are examples. They're not exhaustive. So too, the Torah Shabbat teaches us, when the Torah talks about Gedi Chalei Imo, those are examples of the Sar Be'im Tar V'Chalei Be'im Tar. Okay, you know that and I know that. If you just open a Chumash, it doesn't sound that way. And therefore, says Rambam, and therefore, V'Tikav Asr Kol V'Asr V'Chol. That's why they expanded the range of Bas B'chol Midraban to include chicken, because it's so confusing in the Chumash. Now I ask you, why does the Rambam give me a whole Parshanut lesson? They try to explain Drabanans. You say, you don't have the Oaf B'chol, you might come to have Bas B'chol. We have Xeris all over the Mishnah Torah. Why all of a sudden he has to tell you, oh, because the Pasuk is confusing. What's he driving at? So I think what he's driving at is an alternative to what Eli said. Yes, the Ramban says the reason why we're more inclined to make lots of gzeres, and even gzeres is gzeres, is because the slope is so slippery, cured by gzeres, one thing will lead so quickly to the other. The Ramban is saying it's not because of the practical concern of these are things that we often do. It's because of a different concern. The reason why we're so apt to make gzeres, and perhaps the Ramban is trying to explain even gzeres is gzeres, there's so many gzeres in Bas B'chol. You know why? Because at its core, it's not just because people like food, but at its core, the pasuk is really confusing. And there's so much room, going back to what we were seeing in the Mishnah Shabbat the other week, the Mora Hetter. It's so easy to rationalize, now it's all fine, that's not what the Torah is talking about. And that's why Bas B'chol is a lightning rod for lots more gzeros than most eras of halacha. You know why? Because it's so easy to look at the pasuk and say, oh, everything is mutter. Oh, the only case which is us is one, I don't live in a farm. I'm never going to have a goat in its mother's milk. The whole thing is fine. Because the pasuk is so confusing, it's so easy to go from point A to point B. Any type of bas b'chol, it's not just because this example is, oh, this is going to practically lead me to that. It's because all of bas b'chol d'oraisa is vulnerable. Because of the confusing way it appears in the Chumash. And so unlike the Ramban's approach, and the reason why we're more apt to make zeros and zeros of B'chol is because, oh, it's so attractive, oh, I'm likely to eat this, and we easily come from this to that. For the Ramban, it's because all of us B'chol is vulnerable. And the here is the difference. Two different ways of explaining Tosis. Our Tosis, ending where we began back on Kuftal and Allah. Tosis said the answer is, Xeris, some cases yes, some cases not. Why? Rabban said, because some cases you're more likely to do this, do that, do this, do that. Rambam says, but again, as we said, you can work with Ramban, you look at each case. Shikr is common, but Chalev Shchuta is not common. But the Rambam says, no, it's about all of Basa B'Chalav. Everything under the rubric of Basa B'Chalav is going to be have heightened gzeros because all of Basa B'Chalav Daraisa is so vulnerable. Because all of Basa B'Chalav Daraisa is so confusing in the Chumash. And that's why, probably, the Nekudas HaKesef and the Dovla Merivava say all of Basa B'Chalav is open to gzeros and gzeros. And if it's true by the rare case of the common case of chicken, it's going to be true by the rare case of Ayishchuta. It doesn't have to do with how common, how rare. It has to do with Basa B'Chalav. It's different. The whole area, whole topic of Basa B'Chalav is different, as Rambam says. So what we have, and so now let's wrap up and let's recap. Our Gemara was talking about Xeris and Xeris. Our Gemara called Dalam and Alpha Dalamez. The topic was, the context I'm talking about is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has been talking about Ha'Allah, Machlokas HaTanaim. You're allowed to serve chicken and cheese side by side or not. Right? So Rav Yosef had thought, oh, the only way that can be usher is if both b'chalav eating on b'chalav is daraisa. Otherwise, there'll be gzeira. Right? And Abaye pushes back. No. Here is totally fine. Here is legitimate to have gzeira l'gzeira. And we had wondered about that Gemara. What's going on? Arguing with gzeira l'gzeira or not? The Tosis says. And look, there are other Gemaras where we do hold the Xeris Xeris, or don't hold the Xeris Xeris. What's going on with the Xeris Xeris? And apparently, La Halacha, we do believe in Xeris Xeris and World of Bas B'Chalav. Because La Maisa, chicken is only Asim Jabbanah, yet Halah is Asim. Right? So what are you going to make of this? Xeris Xeris. So Tosfos had said, the answer is, sometimes we do make Xera, sometimes we don't make Xera. Different Xeras are different. Don't compare Xeras unless you know what you're doing. Kids, don't try this at home. Different Xeras are different, you can't compare them. The rabbis can compare them. The Amaram can compare them. They knew what they were looking at. But you and I can't compare them. Well, why not? How are different Xeras different? So what we saw is it seems like different Rishonim read Tosfos differently. Or at least give different approaches to what Tosfos might also be talking about. On the one hand, as Ellie pointed out, we have the Ramban based Midrasho, who said, yeah, it's a question of some items, some cases are more likely than others. So in a more likely case, you're going to make Xer Xer. Less likely case, you're not going to make Xer Xer. And I would suggest to you that the Taz probably held like the Ramban and the Raj Ben Ritzvah. And that's why the Taz said, oh yeah, we make Xer Xer for Bas B'Chalav for things like chicken. That's very nice. Like that Gemara cooked your base with the chicken that fell into the Zutziki. Okay, well, we'll have to figure this out. The chicken that fell into the ranch person. Because that was chicken, common. And the Taz is not bothered, but the Taz says, yes, of course I know that Gemara, but still, in this case of the Chalev Shchuta and the salting, we wouldn't have a double Gzeira by Chalev Shchuta. Probably because the Taz holds like the Ramban, you would say, because that's very uncommon. Chicken, you have all the time, okay. It's easily going to get you to the Daraisa. But the Chalev Shchuta, who has Chalev Shchuta hanging around? What do you have in your kitchen already? That's the Taz. The Shach in the Nekudas HaKesef and the Dovla Merivava, who are defending the Isra V'Hevter, defending the Darkei Moshe, the Ramban, Darkei Moshe quotes the Isra V'Hevter, who said, no, we would make a gzera l'gzera or a double drabanan, maybe a trade drabanan, in the world of, even not only the world of chicken, but even the world of chalev shchuta as well. They're not differentiating between common chicken and uncommon chalev shchuta. They must have read Tosfos differently. They must not have read Tosfos the way the Ramban read Tosfos. That's to do with how common or uncommon. Maybe they read Tosfos at some other pshat. Maybe the other pshat is like Rav Kuperman, based on the Sfarno. Bas B'Chalav is different because it's connected to Zera. So that's why we make loads of Zeres. Or, and that applies to Bas B'Chalav as a whole. Or maybe like the Rambam say. Bas B'Chalav is different because in the Psukim it's so confusing. In the Psukim it's so ambiguous.
It's so easy. All of us machalot is at greater risk for not being kept than almost any other erev halacha. Sometimes the Torah is pretty clear. Sometimes the Torah is very unclear. I know I have to wear tefillin. I'm not going to be able to tell from the chumash what tefillin look like, but it's clear. I got to wear tefillin. Okay. But is it clear that can't be bas machalot? Not really. It just says can't be gedib machalot imam. So all of bas machalot, likely or not, is under a higher threat level. And therefore, all of Basel Chava lends itself to Xeris and Xeris. The machlokas between the Taz versus the Dugan Barbab and the Kuas Akasa might really be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rambam. Why is Basel Chava more Xera heavy? Is it because often things are common lead to another, or because all Basel Chava is at risk? Therefore, all Basel Chava is more Gezeira, sensitive. Two different Tosas have raised the fundamental question of our sugya. Two different ways of understanding what Tosas meant, like the Ramban or like the Rambam. But let's see Machlokas Acharonim on the page in Siman Tzad. One final question.
So who are the Taz and Ramban? It wouldn't be all of Batsu Chalav that would be meaning more Gezeiras, because it's the only things that are common. Like, oh. So wouldn't that be much easier to read to the Tosos? The Tosos specifically says there in the second
part,
halal to achila. So therefore, really, he's talking about halal to achila. I think in that.
That's interesting.
Halal would be much easier to read in that way than saying really talking about all of Basu Bechala, even if it was, you know, the milk
that's a good point.
Already dead cows.
That is a good point. But then you're gonna have to figure out the Shach. You could have said, okay, maybe they hold like the Rambam against Tosos and Rambam. But the Shach quoted Tosas. And he quoted, what do you mean? That's a Tosas. You have to think about how Tosas fit with Rambam, I think. That's a try to work that through. Okay, that was a lot. A lot to think about, a lot to process, a lot to cover. And the time now, and we haven't spoken about the coffee that you made in the fleshy mug, or the cereal milk that you're eating in the fleshy bowl. That's going to come in Ritz Hashem. Next time, when we finish up the Gemara with Tzorin and Pibishin and Pijini, and start gaining from all this interesting theory of Zera and Zera and Kaman Hakam, the very next lines of Gemara, you're going to begin to get us for the first time the practical halacha l'maisa cases of Abbas Bechal.